This is the Valley Outdoors. Great to have you guys with us. We have Ava here.
I'm here.
Donald.
Yes.
And me. I'm here. I'm Eric. That's me. And I will be your host for this next 28 minutes of jovial entertainment. And we're hoping you guys have a good time with us. We got some cool stories coming up. We get to talk a little bit more ammo shortage. That's always an entertaining factor. Talking about North Dakota and more news out of the Dakotas and what the drought's doing to the fowl up there. And we'll spell it F-O-W-L. So that and a bunch more cool stories coming right up. Hang tight. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference.
Welcome back, everybody. Good to have everybody here.
Yeah, it's good
Donald,
to be here.
Ava, good to see you guys.
Hey, how's it going?
And good to have everybody out there listening, I think.
Well, yes.
You know, when you whisper, people
listen. You enjoying the fall weather?
Yeah.
It's kind of nice.
You know, when you walk out the door and the word crisp comes out of your mouth, then you know everything is going on outside. Am I wrong? I mean, in the outdoors, it's like it makes it enjoyable to go deer hunting because you can actually walk out in the woods and not work up a sweat. The bugs are generally going to be knocked down somewhat. Granted, we're not completely over the warmth. I mean, in the central part of the state of and I think central part of Midwest, it's going to be in the 70s this weekend. But, you know, it's going to be moving in that downward direction, which is nice.
If you look out into the future, I think she's starting to drop a few degrees every day. So,
yep. The fish are turning on, and, that's one of the things that, from my experience this year, I don't know. I've talked to a lot of guys across the state, and the fishing this year was probably some of the worst, as a whole, worst fishing that we've seen in a long time, and it was everywhere. Drought causes it. Hot weather causes it. I know on the river situation, that was a big factor. But it really didn't matter if it was Lake of the Woods, if it was, Mille Lacs had some good moments, but if you're talking all the way out to the Dakotas, Lake Sharp, I just talked to David Spade the other day, a good friend of mine. I learned he's the guy who started the Slow Death hook.
Okay, yep.
And I learned how to do that from him when I went to Oahe in 2010. And we were talking for a long time, and he said, nothing happened on Oahe. Sharp was pretty decent, but everywhere you go, it was just crappy. Now that the cold is coming back and the water temperature dropping, I'm surprised we're not seeing more dead fish. I'd be honest with you on that, because obviously heat goes up, oxygen content goes down, and it really is a problem. And of course, pressured fish, if they get fished a lot, they can't recover in that hot water. But so far so good. We haven't seen a significant kill off. But fall for me, it really expands a lot of things as far as fishing style. I'm a jig guy. I love fishing jigs. Dubuque rigs are fun on the river. You can fish two baits on one rod. I can't do that everywhere. And a lot of times, what'll happen is you can run a three-way. If you can't run two baits, you can run a three-way rig and then dropper with a sinker, a bell sinker, and then you can put a probably a 30-inch lead with a plastic tail and drag that. That works great, or a stick bait, which works as well. But these fish are aggressive. They're on the feed, and they are really starting to take off. And exciting for me is when you can go out and have just a blast. And it's not that you have to catch big fish. You can just go out and catch a bunch of fish, and it's really a great opportunity to learn some things too. If you're looking at, I'm not good at jigging wraps.
Yep.
Now is the time to go out and learn what makes it effective. Is your line jumping over itself? Well, then you need to bump up. You need to use a bit heavier 15-pound fluorocarbon so that it prevents that. If it's ripping wraps, where you're how do I the cadence? How do I retrieve properly? All those features or types of presentations, really, when the fish are going, that gives you that opportunity. And a lot of times when you take that opportunity is when you end up triggering a fish of a lifetime because they're footing on the feed bag. And when that happens, that's what I call cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I call excitement, and that is fun. Bring some people with you. That's the other thing. I mean, this is the time of year. Have some people come out that have, maybe haven't been fishing in a while. Say, hey, come on, let's go wet a line. Have a nice afternoon. You can turn the gopher game on a Saturday and listen to it in the boat. You can do a lot of different things, but get out and enjoy the outdoors. If it's taking a walk in the woods and seeing what the grouse are doing, or, you know, taking the dog out in the field.
But, or walking to the deer stand.
Yeah. It doesn't really matter, but realistically, right now, if you want to go fishing, you want to catch some fish, spend some time out there, play with some cool stuff. You know, live bait rigs is always going to work. Crawlers, I don't care if somebody tells you they don't work in the fall, you're joking, because they work almost all year long. It doesn't matter. I'll go head-to-head with a guy in a minnow I did when we were up at Lake of the Woods, head-to-head, and I beat him, crawler versus a minnow.
Oh, sure.
So,
you know, I'm sure you remember Bob Propp Sr. He was
very
a
well.
Professional from way back. And
pontoon guy.
Yes.
He would guide in a
pontoon.
Well,
he ended up fishing
tournament.
On a pontoon, yeah. But he used to fish out of a tiller, and he'd put like a restaurant seat in the back of it. And the biggest problem he had was his bilge pump getting all plugged up, because the guy was a crawler maniac. And he would have so much crawler bedding in the bottom of his boat that it would plug up his bilge all the time, so then they'd have to do some maintenance on that. But he said the best bait out there for walleye, bar any, is a crawler.
Oh yeah,
and he proved it. I mean, he was pretty successful.
On a slow death hook, you can also use the killer crawler. That's also a Berkeley deal. I don't work with them, but I'm telling you that thing works. It's whether you can get a natural green or red.
Yep.
And the red I found really just absolutely knocks the crap out of those fish.
Yep.
And you don't have to keep trying to put a crawler on.
Yeah, I used some of those on my last fishing trip, and they worked very well.
We'll have to try it next year up at wherever we go on our
yep.
little giveaway trip.
Yep.
So, but lots of fun. I'm telling you right now, fall fishing, it's a blast. Take advantage of it. And do a cast and blast. Get out and do a little deer stand in the morning and then go out fishing in the afternoon. Fish aren't worried about what time you get out there. This time of year, their feed bag is generally on all day long. And nothing better than doing a cast and blast. So,
absolutely.
Or blast and cast. Reverse it. Go oh, back yeah. on that. Let's see what we can come up with. But, yeah, it's fun. I certainly enjoy it. And it's going to be a great weekend to do it. Next couple of weeks are looking absolutely stellar. Good, stable weather. And nothing better than that kind of thing to enjoy a day in the water.
Well, I'm going to be out before our next show, so hopefully I'll have some
I will be out
good
this
news.
Weekend as yep. well, and hoping to get out today, later today, and we'll see what happens, maybe Sunday as well.
Hopefully. Sounds good.
I like to think that I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
You know how that goes.
That's the plan.
Yeah.
We'll see.
The chore situation gets in the way
yeah.
all too often, which, what do you do?
I can tell you that my husband has been in the tree stand.
Yes.
Quite a bit.
What's he doing in the tree stand? Did you
bow hunting?
You kicked him up there?
Oh, he climbs up there happy as can be.
Can't imagine that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can't imagine that you guys are going to stick around. We got some fun stuff coming up in our next segment. So stay tuned. More Valley Outdoors coming right up. Welcome back, Donald.
Yes.
It's good to see you.
Yeah, we have better conversations off air.
Oh, sometimes we do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
make
know,
sure. Well, let me set the table first. We got to make sure everybody checks out the website.
Okay.
And?
Yep.
TheValleyOutdoors.com, so check that out. And then, of course, Facebook. Check that out. There's always cool stuff and whatever else. So go ahead, Ava.
I should just record.
Like our just, conversation.
Just continue the recording.
Yeah.
Well,
and then be like, this is what we actually talk about.
Yeah.
Well, and the conversation was how many deer have we basically hit or been close to hitting? And I've hit three.
Ooh, zero for me.
Zero for me.
We're knocking on wood here, though.
Yep.
Yeah.
Is this wood? I think it is.
Somewhere underneath it there is.
There it is. I found some.
But yeah, I had one with my boat early morning. I was pulling, I didn't hit it with my boat, but I was driving my truck behind, my truck was my boat, and that was not good. And then I was heading to some training for one of the companies I work with, and 94 clubbed a deer, not a good thing, at 70 miles an hour, totaled the truck, it bent the bumper in, airbags. When the airbags go off in that kind of an impact, you don't realize what happens. I didn't know either. I've never been in a situation, but the airbag went off and it blew the vents out of the dash into the back seat, and everything was cloudy. And at that point, you know, kinked the hood, didn't fold it up. But
were you okay?
Yeah, I never had any issue. The airbag never
cut you or anything?
Blood, you know, any bloody nose or anything. But boy, total out a half ton truck with just like that. Because once the airbags go off in those things, it's pretty much. It's,
in any
it's
vehicle,
grand,
it's done.
You know,
usually
and, if you hit it that hard,
yeah,
yeah.
So well, you know, we're in that season, so everybody drive careful out there. I mean, that's not the type of deer hunting we're looking for,
especially at dusk. You know, either early morning or at in the evening where they're starting to move. It's just, yeah, it's a dangerous deal and not something you want to
drive with your brights on when you can,
right?
And dim them when you need to.
Yep, yeah.
And don't speed.
No,
take your time.
Well,
get there safely.
Yeah, and I think realistically, if you're on a lot of those narrow roads, you just have to be plain old cautious. Even if you go the speed limit, it's just difficult. You know, and the difficult part I really find is, you know, they put these deer crossing signs in the worst possible places. I just can't understand it.
Yeah, they're never where they actually cross.
They should be where
the deer don't know where to cross.
They need.
We
need telling him to cross in the wrong spot,
right,
is my point. Why do they do that? Can you explain that to me? It's in the most ridiculous places. I mean, they should be, here's an open spot. We can see from both sides. Put the sign there, and everybody's happy. Why are you looking at me like that?
We need a wildlife bridge.
Why?
Have you heard of those?
Oh, yeah.
They have them in California.
Yeah.
Sweet. And I hear they work.
And I hear they cost about $1 billion. I know of a bridge somewhere else that they put up.
We're not going there. You know, I've been out in South Dakota during pheasant hunting, and when the bucks are in rut, they're totally oblivious to anything around it. I mean, I was just amazed because there was a buck that was chasing about three does, and they literally were like running right past our vehicle, and they go around a grove, and here they come again. You know, they're just.
It's a little scary because we've encountered, and I think a lot of people that pheasant hunted have had the same scenario.
Yep.
You're walking through a cut cornfield, or not a cut cornfield, even a cut cornfield, I had it happen.
Or a
grove. Can't even see them. But in corn, you know, you're doing a drive through corn, and I don't know of anything that is more, and I'll use the word exhilarating, or something that will make you fill your shorts as fast as you possibly can. Other than coming up on a 10-point buck literally in front of you, and you're both looking at each other like,
your move.
Oh, crap.
Mm-hmm.
And they're up and at them, and you hope they're not up and at them
at
coming
your way.
Yep.
Because they'll run down that row.
Corn row, yep.
And you better get out of the way. So, yeah.
That happens a lot to us when we're walking a tree-lined grove.
Yep.
And if you're blocking on the end.
Incoming.
Your pushers are yelling, you know, deer or buck coming, keep your eyes open because they'll go right by you.
Oh, yeah. Or
through you.
Or over you.
Yeah, over generally.
Over is what you're trying to avoid.
Yeah, the over part's not good.
No.
Hoof Prints on My Heart is a song that you'd write after that. It's not a good thing. Not a good thing. Speaking of the hunting aspect, we're looking at shortages and everything, right? Shortages everywhere. Shortage here, shortage there.
Right.
Well, the ammo shortage is a reality, and it still is, and especially for the popular rifle cartridges. Shotgun shells in most gauges and deer cartridges must, in most calibers, continue to be few to none opportunity in most sporting goods outlets. Hunters should not expect availability of ammunition to improve greatly leading up to and through the fall hunting seasons. A few hunters have gotten lucky, and others have made the rounds weekly to find a box or two on a shelf. Some have considered purchasing a gun in hopes that the sports shop would be able to throw in a box of cartridges.
That's kind of a
wait a minute,
isn't expensive, like, way to go, isn't,
isn't
it?
That's like the wife wanting to buy a purse, and then you have to have the shoes to match, right?
Mm-hmm. It's all about the accessories.
Or buying a, or vice versa.
Buying a fishing rod because you like the fishing reel you have to have something to match. I think it's a solid concept. Jimmy Hamilton, the research range manager at Vortex Optics, will be getting on sometime soon. Was in the same predicament as hunters. He'd be given thought and effort to maintaining enough ammunition for testing. And that range's primary purpose is research on their rifle scopes. And, of course, impacts are what makes the difference with scopes to make sure that once you fire it, it maintains its sight. A few of his ideas include planning ahead and ordering before there is a need. If an order is back ordered, he keeps ordering and from other suppliers, so suppliers won't take an order though he has discounts. So some of them are difficult that way. Expect to have to wait. Expect to have to pay more. Accept off-brand if that's all there is. So don't expect to have premium and that's all you're going to get. To cut sight-in needs, sometimes requiring many rounds, Hamilton says check the mechanics and scope before firing a shot. Make sure everything is right and tight. Learn how to do bore sighting, and that's going to be important as well. For deer hunting, considering going Minnesota style, there's mostly slugs, and they can easier to get than a rifle cartridge. Other people decide to go muzzle loaders, which is also a good option. Archery season is also long. Take advantage of that, too, if you want to get out hunting. In some states, crossbows can be used with a buck tag during the gun season. But that said, many purchasing a crossbow before November, they'd have to buy one before the November 20th opener, and that's part of the regulations in Wisconsin requiring gun buck deer harvest authorization. It authorizes a harvest of one buck with any legal weapon type. Looking back, some of us were suggesting crossbows during the years when the rut was completely missed by gun hunters. Hunt with the rut with a crossbow, which may be as good as a shotgun or rifle at close range. So, last resort, borrow from a buddy. Don't hoard the cartridges, and wherever you do, do not give up fall hunts in 2021, even if it makes means taking a camera into the woods instead of a Remington. So,
That's a good idea.
Yeah, there you go, I'm all about that.
Yeah.
See, I told my husband that I would like to take pictures. Like, I'm almost at that point where taking pictures interests me more than actually hunting.
Yeah.
And he said no.
Know what?
I need to hunt. Oh. He's like, no, you don't have an option. You got to bring a gun with you.
I love that. I'm sorry. There is no option here. You've been rejected. That's not going to happen. No, sorry, not happening. Well, tell you what, hang tight. We're going to talk a little bit about North Dakota and the drought, how it's affecting the pheasant count. We're going to talk a little head-to-head fishing, and that's about some of the cool stuff coming up. So hang tight. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together we can make a difference. So, Ava, a lot of stuff happening. Kind of wrapping up the walleye season and the tournament and competitive fishing side of the fence.
Yeah.
The head-to-head tournament circuit ended this last week.
Yeah, where were they at?
Chautauqua Lake, or Lake Chautauqua. Somebody will know
and correct
and
you.
Kick me in the head.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's Lake Chautauqua, and that's in New York. You know, the part that I find it's so difficult right now, you know, you watched it, I watched the event. It's all broadcast on Facebook and YouTube. And this year, the bite, and we talked about it earlier, bite being
tough.
So bad,
mm-hmm.
There was more zeros. And these, you know, I mean, I fished on the tour. I still do. Back at it next year. But they're good anglers. And there's no taking anything away from them. And the part that makes it difficult is when you're sitting there watching a show and the first day, you got two zeros for the whole day for mm-hmm. two anglers, and someone moves on because they had a higher ranking in that year. I mean, that was the whole thing was just so difficult. You know, there are some good some guys really knocked the crap out of the fish. Nice part is you can go back and look at it, and I encourage you guys to check it out. It's entertaining. When you look at the event, and you can learn a lot by seeing what they're doing with all the advanced electronics, and so it's pretty amazing stuff. But boy, I tell you what, unbelievable as far as the tough, difficult bite. I mean, zeros and one fish wins it for the day.
Right.
If they go to 1 o'clock and you still don't have a fish, it goes to what they call Dink Fest, I think it was 11 o'clock. It goes to Dink Fest, meaning any fish counts, otherwise it has to be 2 pounds prior to that. So many did go. And, of course, if you don't go to Dink Fest, whoever's got the 2-pounder, of course, they're in a big advantage because
right.
they've got a chance to get the leg up. But head-to-head, I know I watched a couple guys out there. Joe Okada did a great job. Cheers to Joe. I'm not saying who won it because that would be spoiling.
Ruining the surprise.
But we will have... We will have the winner of head-to-head fishing championship. We will have him on, or her, can't say who. We will have that person on next week, and they'll join us. We'll talk a little bit about tactics. We'll talk a little bit about their view of how the season was as a whole, and really kind of give us some insight on the first year of head-to-head fishing, which was the first year of this format ever. I thought the format was good. I think they have to examine some of the locations that they went to because it got real difficult at times to tune in because there was 0000 pool two this year.
But maybe it's more about timing when they were at those locations.
It could be, but you know. I will say this. Then timing needs to be readjusted because, not good. But yeah. As a whole, kind of reflects what went on with the fishing season. So that's one of those things that goes with
here. I thought it was just me
struggling.
Well, up at cab it might have been.
Yeah,
that's right, because he had to get the special presentation, the slip hook presentation. I love that. Recently DNR has learned of two Minnesota deer farms that received deer from a CWD, that's chronic wasting disease positive farm in Wisconsin. September 27th, Minnesota DNR learned the deer farms in Minnesota were among those that received deer from a Wisconsin farm where chronic wasting disease was discovered in August. According to the report in Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, the farm where the CWD was detected sold nearly 400 deer to 40 farms in 7 states in during the past 5 years. I don't get it. How in the world can that happen if there's testing that's being done?
That's what I was just going to say. If they're tested, how does that get moved
DNR,
on?
DNR contacted Minnesota Board of Animal Health the same day to verify authenticity of the report. The BAH, Minnesota Board of Animal Health, confirmed that the two Minnesota deer farms had received a total of 5 deer from the Wisconsin farm between 2016 and 17. It's unknown if the deer were infected when they were transferred to Minnesota. The news of Minnesota deer farms imported deer from Wisconsin farm infected with CWD is extremely concerning, and the commissioner, Sarah Stroman, said the DNR is actively considering management responses to the threat to Minnesota's wild deer. You know, it's the same situation. I mean, obviously different, but the same. When the ponds that people decided to put in along the Mississippi River that they were raising fish, and they put carp in there. It turns out it was invasive carp, and somebody didn't realize that Mississippi River floods, and how that happens, I have no idea. And then that's how they escaped and got into the river. So now we're dealing with that. So it's the same kind of thing. We're trying to eliminate the CWD. And I think if there's going to happen where you have a deer farm, you need to make sure if it's something is shipped, it's tested immediately. There's no way around it. You test it before you ship it. Make sure there's nothing going on. Why it was not done, don't know. Clear Lake, Minnesota farm received 3 deer from that infected farm in the fall of 2017. 2 of those deer were killed in early 21. CWD was not detected in them. The third deer is still alive. The owner is awaiting payment prior to making the final animal available for testing. At this time, the entire Clear Lake herd is quarantined. It's an always fatal disease.
Yeah, I mean, at some point they're gonna have to figure out how to eradicate it altogether, because when it gets into the wild, then it's a real problem.
No, and it's been a real problem. So, yep. A sad story to end, but I would be remiss if I didn't bring it up. The fishing world, professional angling, just fishing in general, lost a tremendous angler and an amazing gentleman by the name of Pete Harsh. I was fortunate enough to fish with Pete for 2 years on the FLW Tour, and was just an educational, an encyclopedia. And if he didn't like you, you'd know. He'd let you know, he was the first guy that shook my hand when I won the event, or when I got off the water when I won in 2010. And he just looked at me and says, "Well, did you kick it out of the park, or did you step on it?" And I said, "I kicked it." And biggest smile you can ever imagine on his face, his big old paw comes up and shakes my hand, and the rest was history on that deal. But guy was amazing. Major titles. In his history, the MWC or the FLW Walleye Tour, the RCL, and the PWT Professional Walleye Trail. He was Angler of the Year in 08, Tour Champion in FLW in 07, Mr. Walleye Classic Champion in 07, Champion in the Super Pro in 06. So it goes on and on and on and on and on. But it's a sad deal that he passed, and we are going to miss him. He was a great guy, and yeah, our moments together were fantastic, and if you have a chance, say hi to Sandy, and we'll be good. But nonetheless, we are the Valley Outdoors. We are out of here. For Ava, Don, myself, see you next week.